First of all, I think I'd like to thank Keith for starting my message. I turned to Kimberly. He's like, I'm going to have to go up there and tell him to shut up. Because isn't it really awesome, though, to be filled with the same Holy Spirit? I mean, it's like the even better than the internet. It's always really a lot better, yeah. All right. Good morning. My name is Patrick, for those of you who don't know me, and I'm really, really excited to be here because, I don't know, I was praying and talking to the Lord, and the Lord gave me this message. And so this is a message that comes because God told me this is what we all, me included, need to hear. So this is one of those kinds of things. All right, so what I'd like to do to start today is to ask you a question. We're going to start with a quiz. So you can just shout out your answer. I got to look. Wait a minute. All right. How do you get to heaven? You what? Through Jesus. Oh, okay. That's good. Good. All right. All right. Why do I ask that question? Okay, I'm coming back to that. That actually is part of the thing. As I'm not talking about how to get to heaven, actually, but I want you to think about that. Even if you didn't say anything, because I teach, I'm used to asking questions and having people say answers and all. And I know some people are not used to answering, and sometimes it's easier to wait to see what other people say. But in your heart or your mind, you know what you believe. And so think about that, because it's kind of the why that we're going to talk about today. All right, so Father's Day. It is Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to those of you who are fathers. Happy Father's Day to all of us, because we have a father, okay? Whether you had a father or not, whether you knew a father or not, you have a father now, and that is a father who is everything that you ever needed, and so you're covered, all right? One thing fathers often say is, do not fear. And I'm talking today about fear. I think the father, well, I know, father wanted me to say, don't fear. And so that was the message. That is the message. Roll credits. Yeah. Do not fear. Here's my problem with that. I'm a very pragmatic person. Practical. I struggle with things when somebody says, do this or don't do this. I want to be practical, okay? And so I believe here's the problem, is that sometimes we are told something to do or not to do, and something like that becomes one more item on the list. And I don't know that we really need another item on the list. Well, we need items on the list, but we really need to be able to do the items on the list. Okay? So I'm thinking about fear, and I think it's important to understand about fear. Okay, so in the Word, in the Bible, it talks about fear, and I think that probably the thing that I remember better than anything else are two instances where God talks about fear in the Bible. First is in 2 Timothy. I am not going to, like, always look up everything. So if you want to write this down and look it up later, I promise you it is in the Bible, okay? I had when I was in college, I had a friend of the female persuasion. So I took her to church with me one time, and she said, why is it that the person preaching looks up a Bible verse, and everybody else looks it up too. Do you not trust him? And I said, I don't know. I never thought about that. But we used to be given things in Sunday school for the person who could find it the fastest. So I guess that just kind of got into a habit. Well, I am going to just refer to some things in the Bible so you can write them down and look them up if you want. The first incidence of, well, not the first, but one of the instances of fear, it says, God has not given us a spirit of fear. And that was one of those scriptures, as a child, I remember a lot because it's a song. And one of the best ways to memorize Bible verses, I think, is to sing a song. 2 Timothy 1:7 says that God has not given us a spirit of fear. And another Bible verse that I remember from my childhood is, perfect love casts out fear. Okay. 1 John 4:18. Actually, the rest of 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. And 1 John 4:18 says, perfect love casts out fear. So I'm now going to talk about fear. And so this first incidence of fear, being a new, it's New Testament, it was, well, it recorded in Greek. It was probably written in a lot of languages, but it's recorded in Greek, and that incident from the Apostle Paul, he used the word deilia, okay, which is essentially timidity. So God has not given us a spirit of fear. That fear is like, am I timid? Okay, which makes sense. If you have power, love, and a sound mind, that would really be in opposition to that kind of fear that, timid, man, I need courage. Okay, man, that's really something a father would say to you, isn't it? Don't be afraid. Get tough, man. Use your mind, use your strength, use your heart. That would be awesome. Okay, I don't know that delia is the kind of fear that the Bible talks about very much. I don't find any other, well, there's a couple of incidents of that, but not that much. But here's a cool kind of fear here, an interesting kind of fear. Perfect love casts out fear. And when the Apostle Paul wrote that, perfect love casts out fear, he talks about fear in terms of phobos. Okay, the word phobos, where we get phobia, like if you have arachnophobia, you're afraid of spiders, or if you have, all those phobias. So phobos is fear in that sense. This is not timidity, okay? This is fear in the sense of alarm and fright and terror. Phobos, perfect love casts out fear. Now, the reason I'm doing this is because I want all of us to understand about fear. If I'm supposed to tell you not to fear, I want you to understand, what are you doing when you fear and how you can not do it, okay? Or if I were to tell you to fear, I would want to tell you how to do it, not just to do it or not to do it, but to understand how. So then we can learn by that, and then we can do it, and then we'll feel better or whatever, okay? Because there is a purpose to that. All right. So my problem is that I think we probably all have a nice list of shoulds and should nots in our lives. You know, there are things you should do, and there are things that you should not do. Okay. And if I'm just going to come here and say, do not fear, that's easy to put that on the list. You should not fear. Okay. Honestly, how does that help you? It doesn't. It doesn't help you. Okay. I don't think anybody ever really needs to get one more thing to worry about not doing or doing. Okay. First of all, I want to convince you, okay? Second of all, I want to help you because I want to convince me and help me too, okay? So let's try to understand these fear terms, especially phobos, okay? I'm going to now step to, I'm going to step to this side. When I'm on this side, I am speaking as a human being, as a person who has degrees, and so this is my professor side, and this is the prophet side. Okay, so I'm on the professor side, so you can kind of keep track. So fear, this is what fear is. What do we know about fear is that we as a people, as human beings, are we have survived for thousands, or if you are one of those people who believe in all those crazy myths, millions of years, we've survived for thousands of years on this earth as human beings, partly because we can fear. Okay? Fear is something that somewhat comes natural. If you are crossing the road and a car turns and is right there, you're going to be afraid. You're not going to say, well, Patrick told me not to fear, so I'm choosing not to fear. Fear is an emotion, is a feeling, and I didn't attend the class on emotions, so I hope I'm not saying something that is adverse to the book, but the truth is our feelings are instinct, okay? You could say, well, I'm trying not to be emotional. What are you trying not to do? You're not trying not to be emotional. You're trying not to express emotion. Emotion is automatic, okay? If you're alive, you feel. If you're not feeling, you're dead, okay? And then I can talk to you if you're dead, but it would be a different message. All right, so you're alive, you feel, okay? So you feel. So if you ever say, boy, I really feel, I wish I could not get angry, you know, that would be like saying, I wish I didn't have skin or something, you know. It's just that's natural. So what you can do with emotion and feeling is learn what to do with it. So that's the practical. Okay. You cannot not feel. You can not express feelings in certain ways. All right. So when you teach a child, you don't tell your child, don't be sad. Stupid, right? You say, when you're sad, you can cry. It's good to cry, or I will give you a hug or whatever. But when you're in the middle of class, you don't go, ah, you know, because then they don't like that, you know. So it's expression, right? So fear then is probably innate in all of us to be afraid because, and I will tell you, and I'm not going to bore you with an explanation, but you probably will know that when you have an emotion or feeling that something changes in your body that then enables you to respond to it, like if you get sad, your eyes might well up with tears. Now, I'll tell you something cool about that. Being able to cry is really a gift from God because what you're crying is poison, okay? If you didn't cry, it would stay in your bloodstream and eventually harm you. So you cry to wash it out because it's poison. So don't drink your tears. All right. I don't know. Anyway. Anger. You ever notice when people get angry, they get hot? Okay. Your body temperature rises. Why? So you can be strong and fight or whatever. Okay. Fear, same way. What happens is your body changes so that if you had to run away, you would have more oxygen to do it. All right. So fear is there. Okay. Let me tell you something else that's kind of interesting about fear. Let me come back to the prophet side. All right. So here we're back to the Bible. The Bible actually says in some places not only not to fear, but it also says for those of us who love a good mystery, it tells us to fear, doesn't it? Okay. Fear God. Let me see. Example. All right. So Luke 23:40 says basically, you fearing God? Okay. So do you fear God? All right. So I'm practical. if one place you tell me don't fear and another place you tell me fear, I have a problem. Okay? I have a problem there. So I looked that up again, back to the Greek. The word there, fear God, is an interesting kind of phobos. It doesn't use the word phobos. It actually uses phobeo, which, if you really want to be technical, phobos is a noun and phobeo is a verb, so there's not that much difference. But if you look at the way that that word is used, okay, Luke 23:40, you write that down. Do you fear God? Another place is 1 Peter 2:17 says to fear God and honor the king. Okay? Which is cool. We fear God and we honor the king. We don't have a king, but we have the president, Congress, all that. So that's why we do what the government says, because we fear God and honor the king. Okay. So that's 1 Peter 2:17. Now, both of those are this word phobeo. Okay? So remember, phobos is a sense of alarm or terror, and it's the perfect love casts that out. Okay? Now, I'm going somewhere with this, so hang with me. Stay on the train. Okay? And phobeo is where it's used is over and over again, a lot of places. When it's used in the sense of do it, like do you fear God or fear God, it's used in that positive sense, but it's only really referring to God. It's never used in a sense to fear anything else. Okay? Now, where it's used, don't do it, phobeo, it's always used in reference to anything else. Okay? Phobeo, don't do that. Okay? Which tells me something. There's something different in our in how we respond to God and how we respond to everything else. Now, you could be sitting there and go, well, duh, I mean, it's God, right? Okay? But let's be practical. And that's the problem, isn't it? Is that a lot of times, honestly, let's just admit, we react to God the way we react to anything else. Okay, so I'm just saying, let's maybe keep that in the back of your mind because I'm coming back there. Now, we go back to phobos, the fear in terms of that. It is often used in terms of not just the phobos, like I'm afraid of snakes or some of that, but phobos is also in the Bible, it refers to some things that people believe. Okay, like you know what the Israelites would be afraid of, or the Pharisees or something like that. Now this is where I found the message, the real message. As I thought about this and prayed about this and just read the Bible, and it just one thing that just gave me a lot of joy was realizing about how I fear uses phobos, fear. Okay, and so my question that I want all of us to think about is why we fear. Okay, why we fear things and all. Because if you understand why you are afraid, why you do what you do, then if you're not doing it for the right reason, then you can figure that out and address that and face it, okay? So what are the kinds of things that people are afraid of? They're afraid of things that would take your life, okay? I mean, you might be afraid to die, all right? Some people are not afraid to die. A lot of people are afraid to die. Well, let us not say that because that would be kind of offensive, but you may think about that this week where, you know, you're walking across the street and you try to be real careful. Why do you try to be real careful? Because you might be afraid to die. Or I don't want to eat that because I'm afraid to die. Or I want to, have my gluten-free diet so I don't die. Or not eat shellfish or whatever because you're afraid to die. Okay, that's still phobos, all right? Another reason, and the reason I asked this question at first, is when you talk about heaven and hell. Okay, now I'm coming back over here for a reason. This is my heretic side of the pulpit. Because this is where, and I'm poking my toes out here because I might step on yours. All right, so here's the thing about heaven and hell. Often people believe because they're afraid of heaven and hell. Okay? I was teaching my psych class once, and we were talking about the belief in heaven and hell. Now, why is that psychology? Everything is psychology. So we're there, and this young lady said something very interesting to me. She said, "Oh boy, if it weren't for heaven and hell, I wouldn't believe in God." And I said, "Well, why is that?" She said, "Because the only reason I believe in God is because I'm afraid of going to hell." I said, "What if there were no hell?" She said, "Well, I wouldn't believe in God." And I said, "Okay, we can work with that. All right. But I'm not asking you to say anything, but this week while you're contemplating what God is saying here, this is the thing to think about. Are you doing it because you're afraid of burning? Are you doing it because you want to get rewarded? Because here's the truth. A lot of us live our lives and make all of our choices based on contemplating consequences. In philosophy, they call that consequentialism. You make your decisions based on consequences. Game theory is consequences, okay? If you study all of that stuff, it's utilitarian. How many decisions that we make every day have to do with contemplating what do you think is going to happen? And a lot of things you do because you're going to get rewarded. And a lot of things you don't do because you're afraid of getting punished. Okay, that's not you. That's all of us. Okay, that's a normal part of life. Here's the problem, though, where it takes us. It takes us to fear. Because it's fear. Okay? It's fear. That is where we fear. I'm going to go another step, okay? So I'm going to step over here, and I'm going to go another step, okay? And this, too, I want all of us to think about, okay? Because not only do we make decisions based on fear of the consequences, we make decisions based on our fear of not following the rules. Okay? For thousands of years, the people who primarily on the earth, primarily believed in God, made a lot of decisions based on rules. Somebody wrote with his finger on the rocks. They pulled the rocks. They put the rocks there. These are the rules. Now, I'm not saying they're wrong, because I'm not saying any of this is wrong. What I'm saying is it leads us to fear. It gives us fear. Okay? So we want to stay alive, we want to escape punishment, we want to stay out of hell, and we want to follow the law, do the right thing. Okay? Now, I'm back to the question of phobos and phobio, because I have a lot of phobos here. Fear of death, fear of hell, fear of not following the rules. Okay? Which leads me to where does phobio come in? Where is it that I can say I fear God? How can I fear God? If I'm afraid of going to hell, that's not really addressing fearing God. If I'm afraid of being unrighteous or not being following the rules, that has nothing to do with God, does it? Here's where I'm really encouraged and happy and have a lot of peace. When I realized that this Phobos, escape hell, find the teachings of the law. Oh, here's another one that sometimes we get afraid of. What we do sometimes in our choices is to copy somebody else who's righteous or blessed or whatever. Okay, I mean, how many books are they? You read, you know, go, oh man, I need some money. So you go get a book from somebody who's got a lot of money. So they show you how to make a lot of money. No, they're not showing you how to make a lot of money. They're showing you how they made a lot of money. But that's not the way to live, is it? Okay? So, you know, that's Phobos. All right. What we learn when we study and learn how to escape hell or how to follow the Ten Commandments or how to follow somebody who's righteous is what we've learned is about God, the right way, okay? And where Phobos has come up short in giving us a lot of fear is that we need to know about God. But even more than that, and this is something that Keith said this morning, so I know if he said it, we're on the same track. The Holy Spirit is knowing about God is not knowing God. Okay? That's how to fear God. Because phobeo, and when it's used in the positive, means, wait, okay, I got all these notes. Okay, phobeo is a state of fear and awe, but it comes from relationship. Okay? When I was a kid, I was, well, like all of us, you know, when you're a kid, you're growing, but let's put it on this track. You know, sometimes you grow up, some people have parents that teach them right and wrong, and their ways of right and wrong is, you know, don't do this or I'll give you a spanking. Okay? And so you learn how not to do that so you don't get a spanking. And then one day you realize they didn't see me, so I don't get a spanking. Okay? And so that's the fear then is been transferred from fear of authority to fear of getting caught. And I even asked my class, we were talking about ethics one day, I said, what makes it wrong to drink and drive? And the students said, well, it makes it wrong because you can get a ticket. Okay? And Anna, you know, I mean, we do that. Maybe this is the way you teach, you know. Hey, man, if you do this, I'll put your name on the board. I'll give you a sticker. I'll give you a grade. And you grow up with this, okay? I don't know where I'm going with this. That's a good, maybe I was supposed to go there, though. Okay, that's cool. But, you know, when you grow up, it's easy to grow up with this idea that what makes something wrong is being caught and punished. Okay, and then hopefully one day we get to the point where we go, it's wrong because it's not fair. If everybody did that, then it would be chaos or whatever. So you kind of learn how to fit in, and that's great because that teaches you how to follow peer pressure. And then you get maybe one day to the point where you can say, well, it's wrong because it appeals to this idea of right and wrong. And that transcends, I like that word transcends a lot, transcends everything else, you know. Whatever you say, I know I want to do the right thing. I was on the phone this week to a person, and I was not complaining, but I was concerned about an issue because this company is doing something that's wrong, and yet it's legal for them to do it. It makes them money, right? Isn't that all right? Well, they were wrong. because it was not right. It was unethical. Okay? So I mean, we live in a world in which what's legal is not necessarily what's ethical. Okay? I want to do the right thing. I don't care if any of you do it because it's the right thing. Okay? Not because it's on, written in stone on, by somebody's finger on the rocks. It's wrong because it's wrong, right? Okay. Because that comes from phobeo, knowing the fear that comes because you know that he is all we need. You know, I'm taking a route that I didn't intend to take, but that's okay. Because I think, I feel this, let's put this practically, in that if you think about the fear that people have, okay, like, you know, people who are afraid of, let's just, I'll just think of something random off the top of my head. I know this might not be practical, but fear of immigrants or fear of people who are different. Okay, well, where is that fear coming? Lack of knowledge. You don't know. Okay, and so who don't we really know? We know God. Do we know God? Man, I'm not afraid of people who are different. Why? Because, man, I walk with God. You're not different to him. He certainly understands. He knows their hearts. I don't even have to worry about knowing their heart because he does. I'm with him. You know? Okay, so that's the thing is, it's phobeo in the terms of being in awe of God, knowing God, because not only do you know him, but you know he's got your back. Okay, so even something like being afraid of death, I'm not afraid to die. Why? I walk with him because I'm going to heaven. I don't know, baby. I don't even know what heaven looks like. As long as he's there, I'm covered. Okay, and I know something, and I'll tell you this. This is like lesson one of Dr. Smith's psychology class. Every class, I tell you, I can tell you some things in this class that I know are true. And they go, what is that? Okay, few facts in psychology, but this is one of them, that one day you're going to die. Like, oh, man, what a depressing comment. Yeah, but that's true. Your life is coming to an end. And that's okay. Okay? It's got to be okay because it's going to happen, okay? You're not getting out of that. So it's got to be okay. All right. So, I was reading in the newspaper, this lady was like, it really bothers me that, and she said something like, that this happened. Yeah, but it happened. So, bother. What about bother? Move on, because can't undo it. Can't go back on that, okay? If you're going to live, you're going to die. So death then might make life more beautiful, right? Okay. I'm now going to read the Bible. I'm just going to give you an example. I'm going to give you two examples of people fearing because they know about God and not God. And this is practical, I think, because there's something in this. As I read it, I said, okay, I get it, God. All right, so this one I'm not going to read you because it's the whole chapter, and that would take a long time. But you remember Samuel coming to King Saul. It's 1 Samuel 15. So King Saul has got the word. I mean, he has the job to do there. He's about to go kill the Amalekites, okay? And he's going to grab the king. He's going to kill everybody. This is what he's supposed to do. Kill everybody. Men, women, children, infants, cattle, sheep, camels, and donkeys, the works. Okay? You know. Fast forward thousands of years. Shame he didn't have drones, right? Could have taken care of it real quick. All right. Sorry, that was a little cold. But anyway, so that's what he's supposed to do. Is that what he did? No, no. He captured the king, killed a bunch of people, kept some choice sheep and cattle, okay? And so God says, I'm sorry I ever made Saul king. Don't create a religion out of that. I'm sorry I ever did. I don't know. Because another place God does say he never lies or he never changes his mind. So there. He's sorry he made Saul king, okay, because he didn't do what he said. And then Samuel goes and takes care of business and kills everything, or the king and all. But I think one thing that is really fascinating about this that shows me something about fear is he says, basically, obedience is better than sacrifice. And I hear people talk about sacrifice a lot. You know, I sacrificed a lot for you to be able to do this. You know? How many times do you do something because you think that's the right thing to do, that's what Christians do, that's what it means to serve God, and are you obeying or are you sacrificing? Because that's what Saul did. I mean, you look at Saul, man, he was all right, wasn't he? He was going to save these things. He was going to make sacrifices to God. He was going to do all the best religious activities. But why was he doing that? Because he knew about the religious activities. He knew about God. He knew a lot about God. He was a good, righteous king. What he didn't know was God. Because God told him to do something. I wish I could tell you that I always obey God. I wish I could tell you that every time he tells me to do something, I go, yes, sir. And I don't say, are you joking? Kill everybody? Kill children and babies and all the sheep and all the goats? That's awful. What kind of witness would that be? I wish I could say that. But if you know God, you know that just because he asks you to do something that you might think is ugly today, tomorrow he might ask you to do something else, and you're like, okay, man, that sounds pretty cool. What a great witness that would be. Okay, but if you know him, you know to do what he says when he asks. You know, one thing as a parent, you know, you teach your children is obey, but don't just obey, do what I say. Obey when I say to do it. So what is it? I can't remember. Do what I say, when I say it, and joyfully or something. Cheerfully, yeah. All right. So that's hard, man. But why did Samuel do? Okay, why was he okay with that? Because he knew God. Okay, his fear of God wasn't fear like, oh my gosh, if I don't do what you say. His fear of God was like, okay, I know I'm okay. Look at my man. What was it? Abraham. All right, I'll sacrifice my son. Why? Why? Because he knew God. He walked with God. I mean, I don't know if he knew that. This, I'm talking about when he took Isaac up to sacrifice him. I don't know if he knew God was coming through. I know what he knew. I know he knew that if God can bring a baby out of the bodies of 90-100-year-old people, he can sure do it again. And he also knew, that's my man, God. That's my father. And if he asked me to do something, probably has a good reason. And he's probably got me covered. I know God has me covered. Okay, now I'm 52. I've been walking a while. and certainly haven't done it very well, very much. But you know, it's just know him. That's what I'm telling you. Here's another. I'm going to give you one more example. Okay. And then I'm maybe trying to. I hope I'm encouraging you. I hope I'm giving you something practical here. All right. So here we're in Matthew 19. All right. Here's another incidence of fear. And I give you a little Old Testament, give you a little New Testament, and then we'll give you the New S Testament, which is now. Okay. When I was growing up, in my church, they used to say, you're the 29th chapter of Acts of the apostles. You know, I think it's 20, there are 28 in the Bible, and then we're 29, because it keeps going. All right. So, Old Testament, King Saul knew about God, didn't know God. Here we go. We get the rich young ruler. A man stopped Jesus and says, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Why do you question me about what's good? Why me? God's the one who's good. If you want to enter the life of God, just do what he tells you." The man said, "What in particular?" Okay, don't tell me. Don't introduce me to God. Tell me about God so I know what to do, right? Okay, what in particular? Jesus said, "Don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't lie, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as you do yourself." The young man said, "I've done all that. What's left?" All right? "If you want to give it all you've got," Jesus replied, "go sell your possessions. Give everything to the poor. All your wealth will then be in heaven. Then come follow me." And that was the last thing the young man expected to hear. And so, crestfallen, he walked away. I like that, crestfallen. He walked away. He was holding on tight to a lot of things. All right, so then Jesus is talking to his disciples, and his disciples are like, he says something about being rich, and his disciples are like, "And then who has a chance?" Now, I always found that interesting. You ever thought about that? Why would the disciples say, "Well, then who has a chance?" And not like they were rich. What are they talking about? Who has a chance? Okay, here's the reason. Because it's not rich money-wise. It's rich knowledge-wise. He's learned. Remember, Jesus, man, he was always talking about the people who know about things. Okay, that's why they were in fear, because they knew a lot. And the more you know, the more you will fear. If you knew how the sausage is made, boy, you would really be fearing, right? Okay. If you knew all the stuff going on in the government, oh boy, you'd be like, all the time, you know? If the paper gave you not just some of the news, but all the news, oh boy. He's talking about anxiety disorders. Probably why we have a lot of them is because we have access to so much information about things. Okay? So what was the deal with the rich young ruler? It's not Jesus. I mean, I don't think he was necessarily trying to give the guy the runaround. I mean, sometimes we're taught about how he knew the man, and he knew the man's heart, and there's truth to that too. But what I'm getting at is I see it also as an opportunity to see for Jesus to say, "Don't know about me. Know me. Know the Father." In fact, I think that's what the message says, know the Father. Know God. Whatever God's asking you to do, do it, because you know him. Okay? So, the word, do not fear, okay? That's the word. That's what we're supposed to do. And I think this is the path that I can offer to help us get there. We have the key. We have the answers. We have the means, okay? Pentecost has happened, right? So now we're filled with the Holy Spirit. So you can hear from God, you can walk with God, you can obey God. We can all do this. You know, we were singing today, and I just heard this word about the wilderness. And I know we're going through wilderness times. We'll probably always go through wilderness times. I don't think I could ever stand in and promise people that life will not have the wilderness times. I think pretty much everything in the Bible says your life is going to be rough, and suffering is part of life. What I can promise, though, is that we live in a time now where we don't have to build the altar, okay? We don't have to walk around with the Ten Commandments in a little box on our heads. Not that there's anything wrong with that, because it's not. But that was like, remember the Israelites in the wilderness, and they would go out and gather the manna every day. Well, that was yesterday's manna. Praise God. Okay? And then, that was the day before. And yesterday's manna. What did they do when Jesus got taken up into heaven? Oh, my Lord. Here we're walking with this guy, and he's telling us all kinds of cool stuff. He went up. And now we pray to him. You know, we believe in Jesus. But he's not walking around turning water into wine anymore, okay? But now, praise God, it's Pentecost, Jack, filled with the Holy Spirit. They can't take that away from you. Oh, they might keep you from building an altar. Oh, we can't interact with Jesus at a feast. But what we can do, we have something that cannot be removed. God walks with us because we're filled with his Holy Spirit. Get to know him. Let's get to know him. I was awakened yesterday morning, with the second part of this message. And I said, okay, Lord, do I just keep going? And then God said, well, it's like Father's Day, you know, people might want to do something else. So I'm going to ask for another day, someday. I can finish this, and I have more encouragement to you because I have some specific things as we, like, read the newspaper and stuff that people are really afraid of, and I have some answers, okay, that from God. So I want to give that, but I want... Right now, I want to leave you with this, that you can do it, and he'll do it, and he will talk to you, and he'll help you, because he's there, and I don't want you to just take what I say and say, well, you know, hey, he got the mic, so I must listen to him, but I want you to recognize that you are filled with the Spirit of the living God, and so that Spirit of the living God will, as you know him, that will drive out fear. And the fear that will remain is the fear of knowing him, and that kind of fear. Okay, so tremble not. Fear not in the sense of being petrified or terrified. Fear in the sense of, ah, man, I know God. Okay. All right, so let me pray for you. And then do you want to do the... Okay, maybe I can take that. Yeah. Perfect. Okay. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this. Okay. I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to hear you and to speak your word and to share your love for us. Thank you for your strong right hand that guides us and holds our hands and walks with us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for filling us, for comforting us, for giving us peace and joy and love and patience when everything out in there in the world, in our lives, pretty much says the opposite. And so I thank you so that we can walk with you and we can know you, Father. We can know you, Jesus. We can know you, Holy Spirit. And by that, we can know how not to fear, but to trust and to love you, Lord. Please bless my brothers and sisters. Thank you that we share your Holy Spirit. Thank you that we share your love. And thank you, Lord, for delivering all of us. Encourage them, Lord. Fill their hearts with joy and hope this week. In your name, Jesus. Amen.